Chuck, I'm fit to be tied.
I know.
Jeez, so
I've been dealing with it for the last 20 minutes.
Well,
I'm sorry. It's kind of been like watching a horror movie over here, watching you go crazy, meat and trail mix.
A lot of people don't realize I do have a temper, see? See? No, yeah. I'm doing Edward G. Robinson. Yeah, see? I'm not a fan of Apple products. I never was a fan of Apple products, and ergo, we have an Apple products problem.
Apple a day keeps the doctor away.
I heard a good one today, and I'm not sure if I got this right, that Adam and Eve were the first ones to use an Apple product without the owner's manual or something.
Hazard, talk into the microphone.
I was just looking at your way.
Yeah. Okay, so now it's verifying install. So now it's installing. Thank you.
Well, it's been installing for the last hour and a half.
Yeah, I'm okay. This is a low-budget broadcast, everybody. Although we bring joy to the world via the Biff Radio Network, we do not have enough shekels to...
Some technical gremlins, that's all you got to say.
Get some proper, how shall we say, equipment.
We've got some hand-me-down equipment here that we're working
on. So, all right, I'm clicking the install button as we go.
Well, this is at the remote location.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clarify that.
By the way, walking into the building today,
yes,
I noticed that, if I can go a little bit hazard on you here, your grass is about need to be cut.
Yeah.
And B, you got some like some life coming up through the ground. You got some plants sprouting.
Yeah, where the trees used to be.
No.
Along the
purple things?
Yeah. It looks good.
Yeah, it's...
Made my heart all warm.
I think this week coming up, officially we can say spring is here. We're expecting weather in the 70s.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful sunshiny day earlier this afternoon. I decided to walk, took a nice walk.
Wow.
Three-mile hike.
Oh, geez.
And afterwards I said, I did so well on that hike, I'm going to go have a ice cream.
There you go.
So that's what I did.
And what kind of ice cream did you have?
I had a chocolate-dipped cone.
Oh, nice. Was it vanilla or chocolate?
A vanilla cone dipped in chocolate.
Awesome.
Excuse me.
Is the perfect time of year for that, because the chocolate will actually harden. If you eat it like in the middle of summer when it's 100 degrees out,
yeah,
the ice cream starts melting before the chocolate can harden.
And I was talking to the proprietor of the aforementioned ice cream vending place, and she said when the ice cream doesn't get a chance to freeze and the weather is warm, that very problem happens, and she'll end up fishing ice cream out of the chocolate vat, you know? They have like a little fondue vat.
Right.
They turn the cones upside down, and then, plop, it falls out.
Well, now that everybody's all excited about spring, let me remind everyone that there's only 240 days until Christmas. When you're going to want it to snow.
Yeah.
Just not land on the sidewalks.
Maybe we should just petition the government to shift our calendar maybe a month or two. We do that with the time change. Why don't we do that with the season change?
Oh, I don't know if you can. Can you?
I don't know.
That something that's not like man created?
Well, what we would do is we would take January and move it back a month.
Well, why don't we just put Christmas in July so we can barbecue?
We can do that.
You have shorts on, go in the pool.
Yeah, we'll do that. Well, I've got some bad news.
What's that?
No theme song.
Oh, geez. Hazard hum.
So let's get this thing going, and hopefully we'll get this thing up and running. I'm just at my wit's end.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we had some theme music for the rest of our shenanigans this evening.
Well, that's what I'm working on, so bear with me, okay? And you know what I can do if I get the software installed in time?
What's that?
I'll just play the theme song somewhere else in the show.
That'd be hilarious. Like maybe to start off the second hour or
It's
something.
Like your cold open in segment number three.
Kids, yeah. It's that time.
Turn I could blow the train whistle.
Kent. All right.
I wonder if I could blow it and play a song on the train whistle.
Turn up the Atwater Kent.
Anyway, the Christmas, I got jingle bells. The views and comments expressed on the following program do not reflect those of the Avondale or Bloomfield Hills school districts, their respective school boards, superintendents, managers, teachers, or staff, or the staff of WBFH, its management or staff either. In fact, the only person responsible for the content of the following program is
Hazard!
If you happen to be offended by what we say and are forced to flee to your locally designated safe place, we humbly apologize beforehand. By the way, there was a cry closet that was unveiled at the University of...
I heard about that. Yeah.
Oh, what?
Nonsense.
A cry closet.
You know, this is funny because when people are infants...
Yeah.
Adults do everything they can to get them to stop crying, right? They mm-hmm. rock them, they sing to them, they make googly noises at them, they give them bottles and pacifiers and all that other fun stuff.
Yes.
Then they become adults and they build cry rooms. What is wrong with this picture? Maybe you should let them cry it out when they're infants.
So said you.
Sure.
We mean no harm and certainly have no agenda. We're just exercising our privilege to take the transmitter out for a short drive this evening. Once we're done, we'll return the keys to the transmitter shack and then duck out the back door. So please don't call the cops. We can't afford bail. Instead, just relax and enjoy our little old dog and pony show. Okay.
All right, guys, it's time to turn it up. Yeah, what a count.
And there was no pictures anyway.
And all that fun stuff. Yeah. And the frying pan on the head, and then the train. And then the crickets, because... Yeah, it's okay. And then, all right, we're on
from somewhere by the green train. Right?
So, you want to hear something entertaining? I got entertainment going on here. So, remember last time we were on the air?
Yes.
I had just bought myself a pair of English zebra finches. Do you recall that?
Yes, I did.
Okay, these birds, they're smaller than a sparrow.
Uh-huh.
Smaller than a black-capped chickadee.
Uh-huh.
They're a tiny little bird, okay?
Uh-huh.
It sounds like I got geese living in my house. These things are loud. And it's, but they're fun.
Good. As long as you're happy there, Mr. Riffenberg, that's all that matters.
And then the other thing, the crickets that I was, you know, keeping to feed my geckos and some of the fish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they started getting kind of big and were chirping a lot. So I decided I'm going to feed them all off.
Oh.
Well, that's what I was raising them for.
That's true.
So I was giving them to the fish mainly because they were actually had gotten too big to give to the geckos.
Uh-huh.
Thinking I'm going to have a nice... peaceful night's sleep. Apparently, there's still some alive in some of the gecko containers. Because I still get the chirping. Chirp, 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 chirp. And it is annoying. And feeder crickets are supposed to not chirp as much as the crickets outside.
But they're different. They're bloody cries for help. We're doomed. We're trapped.
I don't know. I think they're out eating the geckos in the gecko enclosures.
Well, anyway. Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network, Ron, Chuck, and Hazard. This is real, authentic radio, unlike what you're exposed to on a daily basis. MotorCityStatic.com is our website. We're on great stations like WBFH Bloomfield Hills and the station for alteration.
The Blowtorch.
The Blowtorch. The most powerful high school radio station in the state of Michigan, that would be...
WAHS.
Auburn Hills. Kim McNee, proprietor.
Mm-hmm.
And...
how's Wes?
I guess he's okay. NAB was a week or two ago, and he was out there. He got to hang out with my friend, Shotgun Tom Kelly.
Oh, nice.
Big star of LA radio back in the day. He was at KGB, then KCBQ, and then... K-Earth 101.
You are listening to KGB. Do they have drops like that? You would
I don't know what it was. 1360 1360 KGB San Diego. And got to hang out with him and a lot of other celebs last October at Art Volo's house. And that was fun. I remember Tom, you know, I'm nobody, really. And across the room, Shotgun Tom comes over. I guess Art was saying something about my being a railroad fan. Mm-hmm. And Tom, all night, was just talking to me about railroads because his father was an engineer or a brakeman at the Southern Pacific Railroad.
Oh, wow.
So we were talking about trains all night. Everyone else was talking about radio. We were talking about trains, and it was thoroughly enjoyable.
Well, you fit in well then.
Yeah, I did. So, but Wes is doing fine. Oh, what?
None.
Okay, and Wes is doing fine.
Good.
And
Since you're a man for radio, did you see that photo that, what was our former associate, Zoran from AYN posted, and it was a picture of a bunch of radio?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Jim Oakes does a show for us on Tuesdays, and this was last Thursday. He and some of colleagues from the old Purton show.
I remember, because I could see Dick Purton and Tom Ryan are in the...
Really? They are in the photo?
Yeah.
Wow.
And Zoran, cool, yeah, because Zoran's got his hand on...
Yeah, Zoran used to do... I don't know Zoran. He was a class before me.
Yep.
But he did some voices for the Purton people.
Mm-hmm.
Should have been me. But anyway, Jim and Tom and Dick and Zoran and Joe Nunes and Larry Lawson and all those guys, they got together. So that's good. That's fine. I love it when these people get together and have mini reunions. It's good.
Yeah, we had a mini family reunion last night.
I saw that on Facebook.
It was a blast.
Did you care to tell us about it?
My cousin, the captain, mm-hmm. Reverend David Blake.
Mm-hmm.
He had a band back in the day, and they got together last night for a shindig over where he used to be the church pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Turned the when they built this church, I remember this vividly when I was a child because, you know, he's older than I am. And they built this church from the ground up. I mean, they bought a plot of land. They
leveled it off.
Leveled it off. They did a lot of the work themselves.
By hand?
By hand.
Wow.
He's a very constructive kind of guy. But when they built the church, they wanted it to be a multi-purpose room.
Yeah.
So it's just a big hall. And when it's church, they make it look like a church. But last night, it looked like there's a hootenanny going on in there. And band sounded great. I even commented to one of my cousins. I said, man, these guys must have been rehearsing because it sounds like they practice once a week and play out every weekend. And then I mentioned it to my cousin last night. He said, first time in 9 years.
What?
Yeah. And they sounded polished.
Just like riding a bike, huh?
Yeah, and he played some guitar, and he picked up a bass. I'm like, I've known this guy my whole life. I never knew he played bass.
Wow.
He's always been a guitar player as far as I know.
So the question was, toes to the stage?
No, I was hanging back with my sisters and my brother-in-laws. There's a lot of people out dancing and stuff, though. There's probably, there was my mom's family was represented.
Mm-hmm.
My Uncle Dexter's family was represented.
Mm-hmm.
My Aunt Ruth's family was represented. And my Aunt Edith's family was represented. So there were four of my grandparents' offspring's people there. We had a good time. They had some snacks.
Did you hug everybody?
Everybody that I knew. Shook a lot of hands, pressed a lot of flesh.
That's good.
Promoted the show.
You got to do that. You really got to do that.
Yeah,
you
know? I haven't seen some of them in a very, very long time.
Yeah, I've never... So. I miss the family reunions we used to have, and I just miss everybody.
Yeah, it's good to reconnect sometimes.
I don't regret not going to any of them. I don't regret slobbering all over everybody because they're gone.
I'm the youngest cousin by 7 years.
Yeah.
But my next...
Well, wait a minute. You're also the best-looking cousin I heard.
Too. Oh, there's some... no. My grandparents had good genes.
Beautiful people, huh?
We're a bunch of good-looking people, yeah. So, it was good to catch up with them and stuff.
Speaking of relatives, I need to take the next minute or two and just... congratulate my niece, Rachel Ann Whittables.
What'd she do?
She graduated last week from Grand Valley State University.
That's awesome.
And she's got her master's degree.
Oh, good. She can support you when you retire.
Well, that's the story. I took last Sunday off. I was hanging with Aunt Sheila, and I got the opportunity. Now, the biggest thing that really irritates me about growing older... and my niece is growing older.
Everything hurts? No, that's not it?
No, well, that's partly it. But for some reason, the nieces, don't call me. And for years, it was, well, we're busy. And now my one niece is getting married. And, you know, I never got to be an uncle to her, you know, with uncle-y advice. Is that such a word, uncle-y?
I just give it. I don't wait for them to ask it.
Well, they don't even connect with me, see? They don't connect with me because they're off doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that to a point, but when I was their age, I mean, I was the one that made the rounds with everyone.
Well, it was different back then.
I know, but is it really? You know, it's all about priorities. Anyway, I'm not going to harp on that. So I had the opportunity to meet Rachel at my Aunt Sheila's house, and we played cards and everything, and we had a wonderful time, and we had a nice little walk, and Rachel, a little bit of a heartbreak thing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's single now, and it was kind of nice to just have her hug on me and, you know, just let her know that I was there.
Right.
So then she tells me she's graduating, which I didn't know because none of them call me. But I'm just so proud of her because she's going to be working with drug-addicted children.
Oh, good. Somebody needs to work with them.
Yep. And she's going to eventually go for her doctorate.
Wow.
So very proud of Rachel Ann. It was a long, stressful, arduous journey. She was doing internships. She was working several jobs at one time. And then she was working at the lockup. She was working in the counseling centers. And here's something that's interesting to you and me, in that my late Uncle Joe Whittables was a corrections officer.
No kidding.
Now, Rachel didn't know that Uncle Joe was in corrections and counseling. Okay, he used to be a warden, too. So it's part of the Whittables' DNA to either be in teaching or law enforcement. Who knew?
Right.
So she's following that path.
Well, good.
So I love her dearly. I'm very proud of her. And next weekend, I believe, is the bridal shower for Rebecca. So she's doing all the sisterly things.
Is she going to be the maid of honor?
I don't know. Maybe, maybe not.
Well, you got no role, right? You just got to show up to the wedding and drink, you know, the beer and eat the food?
Yeah, if I decide to go.
Hey, now you got to go. It's your godchild.
I haven't seen her in decades.
Blood is thicker than water.
Really?
Water under the bridge.
All right.
I'd just show you, even if I didn't get an invitation, I'd show up. Where's a beer? I need some food. Uncle Ron's hungry.
Yeah. Speaking of weddings, Ron, you're my date.
For what?
A wedding.
What?
Yep.
When?
End of May.
Who's getting married?
Miss Prawl.
Oh, do I have to go to that thing?
Well, I said, at the moment, I said, I RSVP'd, and she said, I don't have anybody, and she goes, bring one of the guys from the radio show.
No.
Yes, yeah. She did.
That's you, Ron. That's you.
Go there, hook up with a fine...
Two single dudes at a wedding? Are you kidding me?
And yeah. Pastor Scott's going to be in the house?
Are you kidding?
No, he's probably doing the ceremony.
May what day?
It's on a Friday. If I find somebody before that, you're out.
Well, I'm. Oh, thanks.
Hazard, go single or go with Ron. Don't. There be ladies there. You can leave your phone in the car. In fact, if you don't, I want you to give Amy Prawl an extra $20 in her card if you don't.
I'll be your Catholic wingman. There you go, huh?
Oh, we need video.
All right, well, maybe, okay?
As good as invited, Ron.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm busy. You're going as the name is Kristen, by the way, too.
My name is Kristen?
Yeah.
With a K or a C?
K.
K?
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be fun. You can hang out with Pastor Scott.
We'll be sitting at the table. Yeah, this is my date, Kristen.
Glad to meet you. Tonight I'm identifying as a woman.
put on your Sunday. Ron, you like to dance?
Yeah, but this is, do they dance at your denomination there or not?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah, this is, this is going to be a...
A throwdown.
It's going to be a throwdown.
Friday, May what?
She says they're maxing out the facility.
Friday, May what?
With all the, we'll give you the specifics.
Yeah, we don't want people crashing.
Yeah.
Well, I have to work. I work till 9.
We'll get the day off. Talk off there.
You'll have the day off that day.
I will? How do you know?
I don't know.
Because I'm done. I can't go. I could, you know, it'll be, I can't go. I have to work till 9.
We'll have to see.
Friday.
I'll let you know the specifics.
All right. So anyway. All right, let's do, wait a minute.
Let's put some music.
What? I forgot to do this.
Do what? You shoved off?
Oh, I did? Okay.
Yeah, remember? Hazard.
All right, there I am. Okay, yeah. Music time.
Okay, so last night, Ron, I, besides going to see my cousin and the Let It Happen band, after that... I ventured over to the Firehouse Pub in St. Clair Shores to see our friends in the band The Shy.
Yeah.
Larry and Bob and Mike. Talked to Larry for a little bit. Talked to Bob for a little bit.
How's Larry doing?
Larry's doing good.
Is he ever going to come on our show?
You know, I didn't ask him about that.
Every time we schedule him, he bows out.
He injured his strumming arm.
Last night?
No, prior.
Oh, okay.
So strumming's been a little bit rough for him, I guess. But they sounded good. And they played this song. And I found my, this is an original Shy song. And I've seen them so many times since Bob joined the band that I actually know the words to this, and I caught I love myself singing along.
Yes.
From their CD, Sid's Grill, this is I Can't Get Over You, The Shy, on Motor City Static.
The Shy, I Can't Get Over You, on the Piff Radio Network, Motor City Static, Ron Chuck Hazard, and my blood pressure has assumed a normal level now.
Why, did we get the music back?
I think.
All right.
Let me check this out. Let me see here.
Let me play the...
That works.
I hit it.
You want
people,
it?
Maybe people like that Jabbo guitar riff.
All right. From the beginning, here we go.
It's time to dust off the Atwater Kent and have another go at it. Bloomfield Community Radio presents Motor City Static. The only live and local thing happening this side of the railroad tracks. Turn off that TV. Put down that cell phone. Throw away that trashy novel.
There was no pictures anywhere.
We've got a better way to waste your quality time. And all you need to do is pay attention. From the studios somewhere near the Grand Trunk Western, Motor City Static is on the air.
See, now it's officially a show.
Emanating!
Emanating from the luxurious yet not overly ostentatious confines. And there you go. I left it up again. So now we have a show.
All right.
It sounds better.
That is Dave Jablinski on guitar, correct?
That is correct. Dave Jablinski.
It's about time to get out the Ode to Jabbo in the catcher's mitt decanter.
This hour brought to you by Ode to Jabbo. For that earthy feel. So we're better. All right, I'm calm. We're fine.
I know we don't talk about like sports and politics on this show,
but we can today.
How about those Tigers?
Yeah. How about Donald Trump on fire yesterday?
Let's talk about the Tigers.
Let's talk about Trump.
Tigers are taking people by surprise.
Yeah, they are. They're waking up. I think it had to do something with the weather.
Well, everybody thought they were going to stink going out of last year and into this year. Everybody said, "Oh, don't care about the Tigers." And Chuck's been waving the Tiger flag, wearing his Tiger gear.
You always do that.
And lo and behold, they're holding their own. I'm not saying they're going to win the World Series or anything, but they're making it exciting.
As long as they make it exciting, as long as they don't embarrass us.
And this Gardenhire, he's surprising me. I was a little bit concerned about him.
Well, he's like the real deal, I heard.
Because, you know, they were talking about, what's all those fancy words they use now with mathematics and statistics and everything?
Moneyball?
No. They use those...
statistician?
You know,
algorithms?
No, algorithms. They use all that nonsense now, and he's like, slap him on the butt, get him out on the field, let's go. Algorithms be...
Yeah, damned.
Yeah. I like this guy.
Fear of God into them.
He's out there kicking dirt on the bases and stuff, getting thrown out of games.
His very first game he got thrown out.
Yeah, well, he should have. I'd have been disappointed if he didn't. Osmus would still be out there trying to get his hoodie off.
I love it. Okay, everything seems to be working now. This is Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. Real, authentic radio. We're not polished. We don't broadcast just for the sake of the portable people meter. I'll talk about that a little bit later. So anyway, we're going to take our first break. We'll come back. 90 minutes of fun left. Here.
What's next?
Stuff.
Okay.
On the Biff Radio Network. Tons of stuff, Chuck. We got tons of stuff going on here.
Good. I got a funny story from last night. I hope I can relate this.
Well, hang on.
To the radio.
All right. Our regular features are here. We're going to have This Day in Rock History.
This Day in Music.
Music history. Sorry. I keep screwing that up. This Day in Music.
Because you're getting it confused with the Rock Report, which Hazard used to do.
Yeah.
But we kind of switched up on that.
Yeah. Because every time we did the report, they got shorter and shorter and shorter.
Yeah. And you never know what they were like the day before, so I couldn't plan music around it.
And then we've got Big Words with Ron.
We do, and they're tough.
Yeah.
You're going down in flames this week.
I should hope so.
The memo finally got to the producer.
And then everybody's favorite would be Hazard. A guess?
Mm-hmm.
I've got three items. The subject is potpourri.
Oh, we haven't had that in a while.
Yeah, it's because I got lazy. It's been a hectic week, so I didn't really have time to plan, and then I was desperately trying to figure out what went on in this day in corporate history, in media history, in general history, and I couldn't find anything, so I found three unrelated items that we will quiz Mr. Hazard about.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds like a deal.
Go ahead and say what you got to say.
Well, it's kind of a long story.
Let's go right ahead.
It's got a backstory to it, too.
Okay.
So, and I hope it plays well on the radio, but my mom, God rest her soul, she was an interesting lady. So when, at Halloween time, when all the kids came to her door trick-or-treating, she would take photographs of them. And this was back in the day with, like, film, and you'd go to the store.
Oh, yeah. Well, the costumes, right?
Oh, the costumes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So she'd take pictures of all these kids dressed in their costumes, right? And they weren't always the best composed photographs, shall we say.
Okay.
Sometimes there are their heads missing in the pictures. Okay?
Yeah.
So she'd get, whenever she got pictures developed, they got the 2-for-1. Remember? It was like pizza for pictures at Arbor Drugs, I think.
Yeah, Arbor Drugs. Yep.
So she had this. I mean, she didn't take a picture of five children. She took a picture of every child that came to her door on Halloween, which was a lot.
Yeah.
So she'd have two stacks of pictures, one that she kept, and the other ones she sent out with her Christmas cards just to people who had nothing to do with the children in the picture at all. So, and she'd send them out. Oh, they might like this picture of this little goblin, and she'd throw it in their Christmas card, right? So last night, and then she'd take pictures like, you know, this was back in the day too. We had like an actual camera.
Yeah, with
so the shutter. So sometimes she'd go to pick it up, and she'd take a picture on accident of like, you know, I'll be generous here, like a coffee cup and a crumpled up napkin on the table.
Yeah.
And you might get that picture in your Christmas card too. You just never knew.
Did she have the flash cubes, the flash bulbs?
No, she had a regular, like built-in flash.
Electronic flash?
Yeah.
Okay.
So last night, I'm sitting there with my sisters and my brother-in-laws, and my sister, Nancy, she goes to take a picture, and she takes a picture of like the tablecloth with my Pepsi bottle and like a half a bowl of crackers, we'll say,
on
this picture. And she shows it to me, and I said, wow, that's a mom picture. You should print it off and send it out with your Christmas cards. She was laughing so hard she was crying. She was trying to relay the story to my other sister, and she couldn't finish it because every time she did, she just laughed harder and harder.
I love stories like that, you know?
Yeah, I'm glad I was able to relate that to the radio.
It's so funny.
It was hilarious.
That is funny. Oh, man, that is funny.
Yeah. But, you know, all these, my cousins, I still look up to them because they're all older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just great seeing them all.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
John Kopp with Team Jitterbug did his first marathon.
I saw your picture on the Team Jitterbug thing the other day.
Yeah, with me with the lottery tickets. I won exactly $1.
How many tickets?
That's all I did. However, I played online because some of those tickets you can go and play online.
Yeah.
I figured, you know, I don't really want to do that, but what the heck. So I went online, and I now have 13 chances at a grand prize.
Well, really?
Cool. So that's May 2nd.
Maybe you'll win something big.
Yeah. I hope so. Who knows, you know?
Yeah.
Lord knows I deserve it.
Johnny's up in Traverse City, I think.
That's right. And this is, let me give that a address, epilepsymichigan.org/stroll, epilepsymichigan.org/stroll. He'll be in Midland on June 2nd, Kalamazoo June 9th, here in Detroit June 23rd, Lansing on the 14th of July, and then he'll wrap it up on July 28th at the Frederick Meyer Gardens and Sculpture Park in Grand Rapids. He's making every one of these strolls. It's a summer stroll for epilepsy, from sponsored by the Epilepsy Foundation of Michigan.
It's the John Kopp World Tour.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Wow.
I admire him. I admire him so much. He's got a great attitude. He doesn't let anything get him down. And boy, does he motivate people.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be a great personal trainer.
Yeah.
Or a life coach.
Mm-hmm. Something.
Speaking of fundraisers, this Friday, May 4th, May the 4th be with you. It's our annual Biff Stock fundraiser.
I saw something about that online.
For WBFH Radio. Now, WAHS, God bless you guys. You had yours last week. I wish I would have known about it. But I just, it went under the radar. And I hope that theirs was successful. But those of you who are listening to us on WAHS, please keep them in mind.
Mm-hmm.
They would always appreciate a check, I'm sure.
Weren't we there for that last year?
Year before that.
Yeah, we went out to visit the studios.
So if you are a...
hijacked Wes's program?
Yes, we did. So if you are a fan of WAHS, if you are an alum of WAHS, I would urge you to open up the checkbook and write them a little money, because they could use it.
Send them some cheddar.
I don't want to panic anybody, but they are in... need.
Okay.
Yeah. So take care of them. Now, if you are part of us, the WBFH,
we're in need too,
and I will let you know blatantly what I want. I would like to raise money for a phone system for our studio.
Oh.
And those phone systems cost thousands of dollars, and I've reached out to our alums, and I have not heard anything back yet, but then it's early.
Yeah.
WBFH.fm is the webpage. You can go there. There's a big old donate button. Just click on it. Or if you wish to send a check, do so. In the memo, make it out to Bloomfield Hills Schools, WBFH. In the memo, just put, WBFH, Biff Stock. Mail it to WBFH, 4200 Andover Road, Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, 48302. Information is on the website, WBFH.fm, if you can remember that. Support both of your local community radio stations, WAHS and WBFH, and let's keep this vehicle going for students. I've got a lot of middle schoolers who are waking up to broadcasting now, and it's a real cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
These kids are bored with technology. They're looking for the next new shiny object. Vinyl, we know, is coming back. Radio is coming back. I wish AM radio would come back, and maybe it will, as long as, if they put us on it, people would listen. But we need your support. So can you do that for me, please? WAHS, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or WBFH. And you can Google WAHS. I believe it's WAHSradio.org. And we're WBFH.fm.
Okay?
Tell a friend. If you can't give, make your friends give.
Hazard, give them some money.
What? Hey, oh yeah.
Reach deep.
So we got all that going. All right, I'm sorry, Chuck. I got off track here. I don't remember what time it is. Whoa, it's not even that.
It's not that time yet.
Yeah.
How about this one? There we go. Anybody know what time it is?
It's time for This Day in Rock History with Chuck Rippenberg. What happened, Uncle Chuck?
Wow. Rock a niece history. Of mine. I was thinking, I've got more like pseudo nieces than I do real nieces now.
Well, I guess I'm the same way.
Yeah.
The way, Imani walked across the stage last week with an award.
Oh, nice.
For
She deserves one.
For her athleticism.
Oh, okay.
And that was cool.
Good. Congratulations, Imani. Well, born on this day, Ron, in 1933, country music singer-songwriter Willie Nelson.
Wow.
He was actually born on April 29th, 1933, but his birth was recorded on April 30th. Nelson has acted in over 30 films, co-authored several books, and has long been involved in activism for the use of biofuels and the legalization of marijuana. Along with Neil Young and John Mellencamp, he set up Farm Aid in 1985 to assist and increase awareness of the importance of family farms. He wrote the country classic Crazy, a hit for Patsy Cline.
Mm-hmm.
On this date in 1976, after a gig in Memphis, Bruce Springsteen took a cab to Elvis Presley's Graceland home and proceeded to climb over the wall. A guard took him to be another Crank fan and apprehended him. On this date in 1993, guitarist-producer Mick Ronson died of liver cancer at age 46. Ronson recorded and toured with David Bowie from 1970 to 1973, released the 1974 solo album Slaughter on 10th Avenue. Ronson co-produced Lou Reed's album Transformer. He was also part of Hunter Ronson Band with Ian Hunter and worked with Morrissey, Slaughter, and the Dogs, the Wild Hearts, the Rich Kids, Elton John, Johnny Cougar, and T-Bone Burnett. On this date in 1998, Steven Tyler broke his knee at a concert in Anchorage, Alaska, delaying Aerosmith's Nine Lives tour and necessitating camera angle adjustments for the filming of the video I Don't Want to Miss a Thing. And finally, on this year in 2001, Rod Stewart asked for a change in wedding vows, bringing them up to date and to be treated like a dog license. Stewart said a change is needed because they've been in existence for 600 years when people used to live until they were only 35. So this album, when I was doing the Mick Ronson story, was not mentioned. It's a CD that was released in 2001. It's called Heaven and Hull. He is from Hull in
H-U-L-L.
H-U-L-L in England. And this is a song called Don't Look Down. It's actually the first track on the CD. So some Mick Ronson here on Motor City Static.
Mick Ronson, Don't Look Down here on Motor City Static. Ron, Chuck, and Hazard having a blast here on your Sunday night. We're running out of April, Hazard.
Yes, I noticed that.
It's almost over.
Yeah, tomorrow's the 30th. And then it's May.
So we should be seeing some of those May flowers, because Lord knows we had April showers.
Yes, we did. Hey, did you watch any of that?
Probably not.
No.
North Korea and South Korea shaking hands.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
DMZ, it's an historic occasion.
I bet. It's like when they did the whole, didn't Russia shake hands with somebody a while back? Like 100 years ago or something?
No, when the Berlin Wall fell?
Yeah.
I never thought that we'd see East Berlin and West Berlin, or East Germany and West Germany, reunite. Now the rumor is a fact. And although I don't trust North Korea.
No.
Never should trust them. They walked across the DMZ together. They met at the DMZ, walked across, and they shook hands. Yep, and it's funny, 3 weeks ago, everyone is screaming at Donald Trump, he's going to get us into a nuclear war, you know, the whole fat boy thing. Our button's bigger than your button and all that fun stuff. And then who'd have thunk? And it was Kim Jong-un who walked over.
Yeah.
It wasn't the South walking over to the North. So Kim's got to know that the writing's on the wall for his regime. Mm-hmm. And he's backed into a corner. And he needs to get out while the getting is good. So that happened. But the reason that I brought that up is, little known fact here, Kim Jong-un agreed to a seat at a table, negotiating table. In the next couple weeks, he's going to meet President Trump in either Mongolia or Singapore.
No kidding.
And they're going to meet, and there's going to be some discussion about getting the nukes out of North Korea and South Korea at the same time. I mean, that whole area there needs to be denukified, if that's a word.
Denuclearized.
Or denukified.
Denukified.
But Kim Jong-un came over, but refused to use any public toilets.
Where'd he go?
Well, rather than using a public restroom, the leader of North Korea, believe it or not, has a personal toilet that follows him around when he travels.
Oh, I like this guy.
This is according
this is a good
to
idea. I don't like this guy, but I like this idea.
This is a former North Korean guard command officer.
So was it like a portageon on a trailer?
Well, hang on here. He left the North. He escaped, as they say, and he gave some information. His name is Lee Yeon-kyul, and he told the Washington Post the reason that he has a personal toilet is they are protecting against a literal info dump. If you read my vernacular there, mm-hmm. The leader's stuff contains information about his health status, so they can't be left behind.
No,
they're that paranoid. Similar.
Grissom, come over here and let's look at this guy's. I couldn't think of a clean way to say it.
Yeah, similar travel considerations are reportedly made whenever the North Korean leader conducts on-site inspections of military bases and state-run factories across the country. In fact, according to the South Korean news agency Daily NK, there is a customized bathroom built into Kim's convoy of vehicles at all times. The restrooms are not only in Kim Jong-un's personal train, but whatever small or mid-sized cars he is traveling with, and even in special vehicles that are designed for mountainous terrain or snow. Source told the Daily NK that there are multiple vehicles within the convoy so that people cannot tell which one he is in, and there is a separate car that acts as his restroom. So, in this respect at least, it seems this historic summit is no different than Kim's other excursions. He simply always uses a personal, highly guarded toilet in lieu of public facilities.
I see what you did there.
That's weird. You know? I mean, how paranoid can you be? But at the same time, our president cannot have food that is offered to him. It has to be tasted first. He can't drink from glasses that are offered to him. So it makes sense, you know?
Is that a paranoia thing, like Howie Mandel and shaking hands, or is it just like something for security?
Well, they could poison an official, if you think about it. You know, the James Bond stuff is not really out of the realm. But with Kim...
So what you're saying, if you run into Donald Trump at the corner bar, don't offer to buy him a shot.
No.
Let him buy you one.
Yeah. So I thought that was fascinating. They don't want you to find out the health and well-being of the North Korean DNA. So, fun stuff. This is Motor City Static, real authentic radio on the Biff Radio Network, WBFH, Bloomfield Hills, WAHS, Auburn Hills. And I had a week off, and I had a chance to listen to radio, and it just makes me mad.
Uh-oh.
You know, there was a time when there used to be weekend radio. And it was full-service radio.
Right.
And you would have music and talk and information, and it was fun. And you'd have the ball game, you know?
Yeah.
WJR used to have the great weekend. Mm-hmm. And now, plastic surgery, ask the lawyer, ask the financial planner. You know what? I'm relatively young. I don't have any money. And I...
can't afford a lawyer.
And I obey the law. So why do I need to listen to that station? And it just got me to thinking, you know, our program here on this network... mm-hmm. We get to talk about nearly anything we want to talk about. Mm-hmm. We play the kind of music that Uncle Chuck wants to hear.
Yeah, definitely. And well, sometimes I play some for the people.
And then we let Hazard troll.
Yeah, which he's doing right now, as a matter of fact.
He's trying to find that date so he doesn't have to go with me to Amy Pearl's wedding.
I think you would be a better ticket.
I wouldn't. All right, here we go. As long as there are no rumors, I wouldn't mind going as a pal.
Well, that, you know, you promote the show.
Yeah.
You
catch the bouquet.
No, you can go out though for the thing. They throw the garter, right? You both go out there for that.
Well, I'll catch the bouquet too. I'll catch the woman catching the bouquet.
Well, you might.
I will dance with the woman.
You see, that's what I'm saying. There'll be two single ladies there that are happy that you showed up as single men.
Really?
Yeah. Especially you, Mr. Fred Astaire.
Yes.
And Hazard can cut a rug too.
Yeah.
You can all get there and pick up the money and do the electric slide and all that stuff.
Ladies, you get a 2-for-1.
There you go.
And then they could put golden years on the karaoke machine and then...
you'd be a cheap date. You'd be on time, probably.
Where's this place
you
at?
You weren't worried about how you looked.
Is it in town or do I have to drive somewhere?
It's in town.
Is it by the church?
Yeah.
Oh, it's in the church hall.
No.
Oh, but it's near the church hall.
Real close to us.
Okay.
We don't want to give out the information so the wedding gets crashed. Talk about it offline, as they say.
I will do that. Okay, so. All right, but that's on a Friday again.
Just don't wear matching ties or something.
Matching heels?
It hasn't. You got dress clothes or you going to go in sweatpants? What's the story?
Hey, come over here. Let me buy you a drink.
Actually, I think I'm going in some robes.
Really?
I think it's going to be Star Wars themed.
Are you kidding me? No, I don't do that.
Hazard will be trying to get carry out from the leftover food.
Hey, you got any to-go containers over there?
Well, you know, the bride paid for it. The bride's family paid for it already. I don't want to waste it.
I can help you make that decision. Well, that's what I do. You know that.
Yeah, I know.
So I never taught you my line, what I use on them when we do that.
What?
So when we do those community meals,
yeah,
if they have any left over, we don't have anybody in the church until the following Sunday, so the stuff couldn't sit there because it would go bad.
Right.
So I take it to help some other individuals that stay with my brother.
Okay.
So, but my line is like this. I go, see that box of macaroni? His name is Ben now, and he lives in Kansas City. I run a food relocation program. kind of like the feds.
Yeah. Watch this macaroni disappear.
Yeah. Never to be seen again.
That's right.
All right. Hard to believe it. The show's half over. Man, we're having fun. We're on fire today. In spite of my temper tantrum at the beginning of the show, I apologize.
Big Words with Ron's coming up, isn't it?
Yeah. Stick around. You might want to go get Mom and Dad.
You might need their help with these words.
Gather them around the radio and watch me humiliate myself. This is the Biff Radio Network. So, a Walmart customer in Kentucky, Hazard, was annoyed.
Uh-oh.
He was annoyed because nobody was in the aisle to help him. So he took matters into his own hands by using the PA system to call for assistance.
Whoa, that's cool.
Forrest Hunter is the man's name. He said he was annoyed when he visited the Lawrenceburg Walmart in Kentucky. And he couldn't locate any employees to help him in the sporting goods section. I mean, the man needs his shells for the shotgun, right? Hunter shared a video showing him pick up a store phone and use the PA to call for help. Hunter says,
customer needs assistance in sporting goods, please. I'm the customer.
That's funny.
Hunter said an apologetic employee did eventually arrive in the section to help him. It's common courtesy. They should have been there.
No.
You know, when I worked retail, I always ran up and down the aisles regardless, just to keep an eye out on people. But that's the kind of guy I am.
And that's then something I noticed right off the bat is customer service like that in these big box stores.
Yeah.
Especially there's a couple of your home improvement stores. We won't name them, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is only two.
But I mean, if I don't see anybody down, I'm very upset about that.
Yeah. And then so many people have registered for a very short road race near San Antonio that no other underachievers are allowed to enroll. The first Bernie 0.5K, that's right, 0.5K, is scheduled for May 5th in the city of Bernie, Texas. That is spelled B-O-E-R-N-E, Bernie, Texas. Organizers say their city permit won't allow more than 100 fellow underachievers on the 546-yard course. Race entry costs $25, Chuck. The event is raising funds for Blessings in a Backpack, which provides foods at the weekend for underprivileged children. There's also a VIP option. For big shots not wishing to expend any energy, a 1963 Volkswagen bus will transport them the length of the course for an extra $25.
Wow.
A couple of brew pubs are sponsoring the event, and participants will get free beer at the start and the finish line.
That's something.
Yeah, that's funny. I thought you'd be interested
in that. Blessings in a Backpack, that's a very good organization.
It's a well-known organization, and it's a very good program.
We participated in it.
And then, on top of that, Harley-Davidson is offering free motorcycles for those who join its summer internship program. Eight college students or recent graduates will have the enviable task of being paid to ride a Harley and then share their adventures on social media. And the best part, they get to keep the bike at the end of their...
Where do I sign up for that?
They get to keep their bike at the end of the 12-week internship. Wow. The Milwaukee-based motorcycle maker says it will teach the interns how to ride, compensate them for their work and travels, and then let them keep their motorcycles. Harley-Davidson says it's looking for those who have the ability to create content on the fly, are creative, and have the talent to take great photos and fun videos. If I had a son or daughter, I'd encourage them to do that.
Yeah.
Applicants must be 18 years or older and looking to pursue a career in social media. So, you know, a lot of people, a lot of our liberal friends say corporations are greedy and na-da-da-da-da. Well, guess what? Harley-Davidson isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Harley-Davidson isn't, so... All right. Everything seems to be working.
Yeah, nice.
Welcome to Metro Detroit's beloved quiz program that not only helps to build your vocabulary, but puts our beloved Uncle Ron in his place. It's time for Big Words with Ron on the Biff Radio Network. As you know, Uncle Ron tends to espouse his opinions with big $5 words that often leaves Chuck and Hazard addled, befuddled, and perplexed. This time the table is turned to see how Uncle Ron reacts. Can he bluff, reckon, or guess his way to the words we throw at him? You decide on Big Words with Ron. Now, from luxurious yet not overly ostentatious MCS studio near the Grand Trunk Western, here's your host, everybody's favorite, Chuck Rivenberg. I love this theme song. Best theme song ever.
You know what I just thought of?
What?
The 6 years I spent in public school band percussion sections.
Yeah.
And the numerous years of drum lessons I took.
Yeah.
Have been, I shall say, highlighted by my ability to play the vibraslap and blow a train whistle on radio.
I love it. Okay, let's fade the music and let's start.
Oh, Ron, these are going to be tough.
Well, you know what? I've been due for a long time.
Would you like to start with the letter A, the letter P, the letter S, or the letter A again? So you got A, P, or S. Which would you like?
I'll take a P.
You'll take a pee. All right. I thought you did that on the break. All right, Ron, this word, it is from the Latin. Its earliest documented use was in 1828. You have one chance at its definition as a noun. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Your word is pinetum.
Pinetum?
Pinetum.
Sounds like me after a couple of beers craving dessert.
Pinetum.
How do you spell that? P-Y or P-I?
P-I.
P-N-E-T-U-M. P-I-N?
P-I-N.
Yeah.
E-T-U-M. Pinetum.
Pinetum. And it's Pinetum, right?
It's Pinetum, yeah. 1828. Let me see how if this sentence gives it away here.
Yeah, Pinetum. Ah. Well, I see
pine. Oh, this would be a good sentence.
I see pine. I see tum. I see Pinetum. But I don't know what that word is. I
haven't you never read that one in the dictionary?
No.
Is that in your Webster's?
Yeah, what's this word? Pine tum?
I've never seen this word either.
All right, let's... does it have to do with trees off the...
Yes.
Well, like an arboretum is where you would go to find stuff. So Pinetum is where you'd go to find trees.
You know, I have to give it to you. The definition is an arboretum of coniferous trees such as pines.
Right.
Wow, that was impressive, Ron.
Yeah.
So you broke that word down like a linguist.
Yeah, don't tell Dr. Livernoy. He'll get jealous.
He probably would have got that one. Your next word, Ron. Do you want another A? Do you want a P or you want an S?
I'm going to take another P.
We don't have another P. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
You got two A's and an S left.
Can I take an S?
You can take an S. This word, Ron.
Yes.
Its earliest documented use was in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. You have one chance at the definition as a noun.
Mm-hmm.
How the heck do you pronounce it?
You know, half the people tune into this segment just to hear your interpretation of the pronunciation of the words.
Well, if I were to see it without the phonetic pronunciation, yeah. I would say the word is sillage.
Sillage.
But with the phonetic pronunciation,
Solage.
It's what?
Sillage.
No, there's no L in the phonetic pronunciation, which is kind of weird. It's just siage.
What?
Siage.
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 It's
S-E-E, little, small, S, small E, dash, capital A, capital H, capital Z, capital H is the phonetic pronunciation. But the word is spelled S-I-L-L-A-G-E.
S-I-L-L-A-G-E.
Siage.
Silage.
Silage.
That's what you put in a silo.
Siage.
That's grain. Siage. It's grain in a silo.
Oh, it's from the French, by the way, Ron, so you should be able to get this because you took French in high school or something.
Siage?
Siage.
Siage. That's what I said.
Siage.
It has nothing to do with grain in a silo, huh?
It's something you took with escargot.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not?
No.
What?
Ezra, you stay quiet over there.
Just keep trolling.
This is my segment, okay?
Okay.
Me and Ron.
Siage.
Siage.
I just love saying the words.
Siage.
Siage.
I'm going to have a hard time reading this sentence.
Is it in French?
A part of it.
All right, let's try it. Give me that sentence.
I think the name, I think it's a person's name, and it's Fleur Ciano. Fleur Ciano fragrance intends to be a celebration of nightlife, and for those who want to own the room, its siage is far.
It's siage is far.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's reach.
I've left siage in your kitchen before. Matter of fact, haven't I, Hazard?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez. We had to open
the
windows.
That should be a clue.
We had to open up the windows, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's obviously it's the vapor trail.
No, you got to think French, not Chuck.
No, it's just it's an odor, right? Or a bouquet.
Fleur Ciano fragrance tends to be a celebration of nightlife.
Right.
And for those who want to own the room, its siage is forever. I owned the room because I kicked everybody out with my siage. But this siage is a pleasant siage, I would think. Hazard's left a siage before.
Oh, yeah, I bet he has. Well, it's like an odor of a fragrance odor. It's like a calling card for the olfactory nerve.
No.
Am I anywhere near it?
You're kind of in the ballpark.
Well, what do I need to enhance?
The definition.
Jeez. The aroma. Odor. Aroma.
That.
After effects.
All right. The trail of scent that lingers behind from a perfume. Also, the degree to which it lingers.
Okay.
Siage. You left quite the siage when you were over here the other day, Mr. Hazard.
Oh, we were so...
Well, here's a little hint for you. Yeah. When you go to the wedding with Hazard, don't leave a siage behind.
Let me put a bookmark in this. We had a great time at the station on Friday. The kids were hanging out late. Mm-hmm. It was a Friday, and we were just blowing them off steam and just getting silly. And we have a young man, both of you, if you met him, he's a junior. His name's Austin Wiggins.
Uh-huh.
He's a good old boy, a little bit of a redneck, and he's just a fun guy. Funny. And he was wearing a fragrance.
He left the siage?
Well, hang on. So he's at the little work table we have in our workroom, and Kaylee Brooks, our student general manager, is next to him, and then Josh Salhaney is another one of our students. He's off to the side. So he probably had about 5, 6, 7 kids just, you know, joking around laughing. And Kaylee leaned over and remarked to Austin, You smell nice. To which point I said, careful, Kaylee, that's how relationships start. It was, you know, it was like a cute little thing.
Oh, okay. Aww.
You had to have been there, but
I guess.
I mean, they were joking, but it was funny. So his sillage.
Sillage.
All right.
Enough stalling. Okay. Do you want an A or an A?
Let me leave you some sillage.
I'll take an A.
An A. All right, let's go with this one since I have it in my hand.
There's only four this time?
Yeah.
All right.
And you are two for two for those playing along
at home.
Oh,
I thought I was going to go down in flames.
Me too. The earliest documented use of this word, Ron, was actually in your lifetime in 1970.
Oh.
Put the hammer down on him, Chuck.
It is a noun. Mm-hmm. And it is, let's see, from the Greek. And the word is arctophile.
Arctophile?
Arctophile.
A-R-C?
A-R-C-T-O-P-H-I-L-E.
Okay, arctophile. Mm-hmm. File is the root. It means a fan of, someone who endorses, someone who's, enjoys certain things. Mm-hmm. So I've got that.
So I'd be a trail mixophile.
Yeah, or I'd be
a trainophile.
Well, a sillage.
Locophile.
That was the last word hazard.
Arcto.
Arcto.
Arcto. This is where it gets tough. Mm.
Arc means a circle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either someone who loves geometry or one who chases his own tail.
Nope, neither.
Because you're going around in circles, see?
Uh-huh. Yeah, look at this one.
Arctophile. But it does have something to do with geography, right?
Nope.
Not at all.
Not at all.
I like this. He's not even on the M59. He's over on the east side. He can't even get over.
He's on the repairable side of 696 right now, dodging tractors.
Arctophile, huh? Arctophile. Arcto? It's got to be like arc. Octo means eight. I'm going to need a sentence on this one.
Yeah, and it's probably going to give it away, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. I am a past president of the American Society of Teddy Bear Collectors and have contributed dozens of articles to Teddy Bear Review and other arctophile journals.
Teddy Bear Review?
So that means you love dolls and teddy bears, right?
Teddy bears.
Wow.
Someone who is very fond of teddy bears or collects them.
Wow.
Wow, three for three.
Yeah, and you thought I was going to go down.
I did. Well, let's see if we can stump you with this one.
Okay.
So last word for today, Ron.
Man, I'm 75%. I should quit while I'm ahead.
And this is the earliest documented use on this one here. It's 1903.
Hmm.
You've got one chance at its definition as a noun. Seem to have a lot of nouns today, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
It's from the Latin and from the Greek. And this word, Ron, is androcracy.
Androcracy.
No, androcracy.
A-N-D-R-O-C.
R-A-C-Y. Androcracy.
Wait. A-N-D-R-O-C-A-S-Y.
No.
Okay.
A-N-D-R-O-C-R-A-C-Y.
A-C-Y.
Androcracy.
Androcracy. Okay. Let's break this down.
Break it down.
It has to do with government.
Yes.
Okay. So you split that word in half. Mm-hmm. Androcracy. Now, it also is related to androgyny, which means no male or no female. So it is a sexless form of government.
No.
What?
A what?
No.
A sexless form of government.
Or how about an undefined form of government, like anarchy?
No.
Andro?
How about a government that doesn't know whether it's where to go to the bathroom?
That's Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
It's a government that brings its own toilet.
Yeah. Androcracy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Andro?
Crossy.
Androgyny. I thought for sure I'd be on the trail there.
Nope.
All right, sentence.
It's probably going to give it away. Some think the system's androcracy simply perpetuates itself as powerful men promote other men to positions of power.
Well, it's like misogyny. They don't want any women involved at all, right?
Yeah, so it is a...
Androcracy.
Right, which is a...
male-dominated government. Thank you.
System ruled by men. Wow, 4 for 4.
Yeah.
Good going, man.
Ye who had little faith in me.
He fouled off a few. You had to keep him in there.
I think he was just toying with us.
And that's how we play.
Wait.
Hold up the Miguel.
Big Words with Ron. All right, so we had Pinetum, which is an arboretum full of...
pine trees.
Coniferous plants.
Yeah.
Sillage, which is a...
Descent?
Vapor trail.
Yeah, it's hazard when he leaves the room.
Arctophile is someone who loves teddy bears. Mm-hmm. And then Androcracy is basically a bunch of men.
Yeah. That rule of government.
That rule of government.
Or a system.
A system.
Man, I did 4 for 4.
You did.
I'm so proud of myself.
You should be.
See my tail, it's wagging.
It is.
All right.
Hey, a little puppy.
Ron stood his ground.
Man, did.
They tried to throw some chin music at you, but you kind of held your ground.
Speaking of music, Jim Morris Jr.
Song's called Splitsville.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. All right, Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network, Ron, Chuck, and Hazard. This is as good as it gets. Talk about real, authentic radio. We do this every Sunday night between 9 and 11 on the Biff Radio Network. Want to say hi to Josh Salhaney, who's listening to us.
Really?
Yep.
Hi, Josh.
Every chance he gets, he's promoting us. And we're picking up listeners left and right.
Yes, we are.
And we're emptying their pockets, and then we're sending them on their way. Biff Stock this Friday, WBFH.FM. Big red donate button. Please help us out. We're okay, but this is a lesson in our students learning how to market the station and then raise some money. Mm-hmm. And
it's an economics lesson.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of charities out there. I do hope you support those charities. And if you have a nickel or a dime left over, how about us? $10, $20. If you're a business, you know, help us out. All right?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. What's next, Chuck?
We're going to play some music?
Sure.
All right, here's one from the man who wanted the marriage vows changed because he felt they were archaic. This is Rod Stewart. It's not a song from Rod you're going to hear every day on the radio. It's called Country Comforts on Motor City Static.
Rod Stewart, Country Comforts on the Biff Radio Network. That guy can do every genre of song.
Yes, he can.
He can do the hard rock. He can do the soft ballad. He can do the disco. He can do the sensual songs. That's a good guy. Rod Stewart. 95 years old. Incredible. Motor City Static with Ron, Chuck, and Hazard here on the Biff Radio Network. This, the 29th day of April 2018. Seems like it was just January.
Yep.
And here we are running down the clock.
I was talking with Pastor Scott, and I said, you know, I keep a date, track of when I turn the furnace on.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to keep a track of when I turn the furnace off. And it's like, wait a minute. I still got mine on.
Yeah, so is mine.
So it's going to be like May, June, July, August. But then we'll turn it back on in September or October.
Was Pastor Scott happy to see me there at Palm Sunday?
Oh, he was elated.
Really? He's a real good guy.
And I keep up with him, now, or he's trying to get me in shape with him. He wants me to start running with him.
Well, you should go.
So I don't know about that.
Just get your health and everything. And
yeah, he's looking good. He's lost some weight. He's been doing some 5Ks.
Well, I wouldn't do that. I walk, but I would not run because people my age usually drop of heart attacks when they're running. And that's one thing that I'm very paranoid about, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
This is the best radio broadcast. You're here all weekend, Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. We have a website. Chuck and Hazard, MotorCityStatic.com. A podcast of this here broadcast will be there, and you can listen to us during the week in your cube farm, in your office, in your cab. If you're an Uber driver or a Lyft driver, you can listen to us.
Yep.
Take us anywhere. This is real authentic radio here.
Download the app right from the web.
All right. Half hour to go. Hazard a guess on the way. The topic is potpourri.
Potpourri.
So I couldn't find anything, any theme. I know Ruth would be mad at me, but it's all I can do. Back after these messages.
I didn't know that. Fridays what? Are cheaper?
Fridays are cheaper for weddings.
Why is that?
Because everybody wants Saturday. Fridays, people got to take off work. They might not be there. Mm-hmm. If there's travel involved, they have to leave on, you know, they have to take a couple days off
true.
Of work.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Sundays are even cheaper.
Yeah, I know that. I know Sunday weddings are big with the Chaldean crowd.
Yeah. Well, you're at church, it's 2-for-1.
Yeah.
You know,
a little combo action.
Stay for Mass, go to Mass, stay for the wedding
there
afterwards.
You go.
Yeah.
Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. Oh, wanted to bring this up. We weren't on last Sunday because I was in Grand Rapids.
You were.
Correct.
And the Wednesday before.
Skills USA.
That's right. That was fun. Oh, it was fun. And the Wednesday before that Sunday, the 18th of April, Danielle Tier, our advisor, and I took the kids to Cumulus Detroit.
Ooh.
What does that mean to the average listener out there? Well, WJR, WDVD, and WDRQ.
No kidding.
Which is Nash FM. And we got to hang out with Blaine Fowler.
Ooh.
The Blaine Fowler Morning Show.
Is that his real name?
Yeah, it's his real name. Found out he's from Sault Ste. Marie. And you know what's really cool? He visited our old studios at Losser about 2-3 years ago. And the reason being, Matt Lorenek is his producer, and Matt Lorenek is the son of Frank Lorenek, who is retiring from social studies at the Bloomfield Schools.
Oh, I see.
So we have an in. So Blaine Fowler came to see us those years ago, and I walked into the studio, and he remembered me. So that
was
your
Uncle Ron?
Ron, what up?
No, but he said, hey, Ron.
Ron, what up, dude?
Yeah. Huh. And then he called security. So that was cool.
Did you take Hazard with you?
No.
Why'd they call security?
That's because of me.
Oh.
It's a joke.
Yeah, it was a joke.
Did they ask you to do the weather like Les Nessman with those glasses?
Thank you. So it was pretty cool. And I met Lauren, who is the sidekick.
Okay.
Blaine, Lauren, and Matt. And our kids got an eyeful because, you know, teens, they take things for granted. They don't realize that we're trying to be authentic at the Biff.
Yeah.
So they walked into those studios and they knew everything,
which was
really cool.
Yeah. I think you're doing a good job.
And then when the tour lady couldn't fill in some historic facts about WJR, said, I got it, sister.
But you did.
And I told him all about AM stereo and 50,000 watts and 38 states.
Oh, look at Ron.
You were salivating, weren't you?
Yeah. And I was telling him about their original call letters. They were owned by the Free Press and all that stuff. And it was good.
Wow.
And then, the production director, Mike Gagliano, talked to the students for a little bit, so appreciate that. It was a nice visit at the Fisher Building.
Good.
And it's just a lovely experience to take the students out and show them, hey, you know, we're not just playing here.
Mm-hmm.
This is real stuff.
Yeah.
Real stuff. So we got to hang with them and really enjoyed it. And then I went to Grand Rapids, and I hung out with various station owners, and it was fun. I just love radio. Radio is so cool. I really want to own a radio station.
I know you do.
There's a station in a little town called WION, and it's not for sale, but it was something that I would love to do. It's a little 5,000-watt AM station in stereo.
Really?
It sounds cool. I wish I could drag you up there to listen to it in a car where that has AM stereo because it sounds just like FM.
Wow. Interesting.
And it covers more area than FM does, too.
Oh, geez. So, wow.
That's nice. So Jim Carlisle is the owner of that station. He was nice enough to let me take him to lunch. And we went to one of the restaurants in downtown Ionia. And I have family that's up there, Aunt Sheila. And that's where my cousin Carrie went to high school.
Okay.
And she graduated back in 82 or 81 or one of those years. And that's where Uncle Joe Whittables used to work at the Ionia State Correctional Facility.
Okay.
He was in, I think, like assistant warden or something. But he was the big deal. Talking to Aunt Sheila, he went up and he ran the prison camps up in Roscommon.
Wow.
Down at Grass Lake. And, you know, and sadly, he passed back in 89, and he made it to 54.
Oh,
geez. So, wow. Those Whittables men, they don't last that long.
Right, you're going to change that,
well,
Ron.
I hope so. I mean, Dad was 63, and...
Rondo, you didn't tell me about this. Kerry? Class of 82?
Yeah.
That's right in my neighborhood.
Yeah, and she's been married for 30-some years.
Oh, okay.
Jeez, you.
He's always looking. Always looking.
And he's always looking at my family, too.
ABC, baby. Always be closing.
Yeah. Would I want him in my family?
No.
It'd make Christmas interesting.
I told you I'd take out what's
especially
it?
After the two of you go to this wedding together.
Yeah.
Who am I offered to take out Tracy.
No, you don't want to. No. I wouldn't wish Tracy on you.
Wow, that's saying something.
Well, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
I love my sister and everything, but it's my sister.
Hazard, can I get a pen? I got to keep score. Get one out of your merce.
Live and direct from the Rumpus Room at La Casa de Hazard, it's time to gather around the radio and play another installment of Metro Detroit's favorite radio contest, Hazard. A guess? Yes, kiddies, Uncle Ron has officially depleted the topic bin tonight, and yet we still have a half hour of expensive and valuable broadcast airtime left. How do I know? Kim McNee told me the cost of that airtime. So we present a Surefire Network time killer, one that pits the incredible knowledge of our very own handsome, suave, slick, and debonair lady killer, Mr. Johnny Jump Up, the Earl of Spiffy, Exchequer of Bling, you know him as Jeffrey Lee, against the brain power of our bright, attractive, erudite, and deeply learned Chuck Riffenberg.
Mm-hmm.
Gather around the radio, my friends. If you're not too careful, you might learn something. Hey, Big Daddy.
Yes.
Are you ready to hazard a guess?
I am ready.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, look me in the eye, the good eye. Topic tonight is potpourri.
That's that stuff that I...
That you got in the back of the toilet in your house.
Yeah,
yeah, in that little dish.
Yep. I want some potpourri.
I need to oil this thing. Man.
Yeah, you do.
It's squeaking there.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Now, let me... Did you notice how organized the studio looks a little?
Why, were you here last night?
No, but I mean, you notice how everything, like, the pens are all together.
Yeah.
See how the notepads are all...
Yeah. Is that a hazard work?
That was a hazard job.
Yeah, a hazard job there.
That's why you knew right where to reach for the pens.
That's right, baby.
Okay, let me take a swig of my stevia-induced soft drink. Yeah, this stuff is expensive, but it sure... You know, because I've got that diabetes thing now. I got to watch what I eat.
Or drink,
and I'm... It's not a commercial.
Just drink the thing. Let's get going here.
All right.
We got a show to do.
All right. Hazard, here we go. First question. What is a Brannock device?
A what?
A Brannock device. B-R-A-N-N-O-C-K. Brannock device. What would you use a Brannock device for?
Well, you'd use it for your Brannock, of course.
Hey, Doc, how's my Brannock looking?
I was down at the pet store. I picked up a couple Brannocks, and yeah.
Yeah, I like the... Striped Brannock, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
Saute it, fillet it.
Brannock device.
Brannock device.
Spell it for me, will you?
B-R-A-N-N-O-C-K.
Brannock device?
Brannock device.
Wow, that's a new one, I mean.
Actually, it is recycled. So you had this one about 4 years ago.
Wow, so we should know it. It's what you're
Brannock
saying.
Brannock device.
Well, let's break it down.
Well, you know what I wanted to do is I wanted to get off on the right foot with this week's contest.
Well, throw me something. Is it a household item or
use it in a sentence?
Yeah, use it.
I just gave it to you. The biggest clue. I want you to get off on the right foot. So the first question is about a Brannock device.
Okay. Come on,
Hazard. Oh, a Brannock device. Oh, that's
break
right.
It down, Hazard.
I remember what a Brannock device.
It's no, something you consume.
I think it's that thing at the foot store when
when they measure your feet.
Yeah, measure your foot, and it had the thing that went to the side to tell you, your
width.
Yeah.
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 And so an extra button for your bunion?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Yeah, that black thing, black silver thing about that long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember those.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a foot store.
Brannock device. Brannock shoe store. Device.
Yeah.
Measuring tool.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You want to change your mind?
No.
Okay. Chuck, what say you?
I like that answer. I was going to say it has something to do with...
Brannocks?
with your foot, some sort of like an ankle brace or something. But
all right,
I like this thing the Hazard's got going on with the foot measuring tool.
Okay. The Brannick device is a measuring instrument invented by
Brannick.
You're right, Charles F.
Wait, wasn't he? Was there a movie made with him, Charles Bronson?
No, it Brannick. Hasn't.
No, that was Banachek.
Oh,
with the late George Peppard.
Oh.
You measure a person's shoe size. Mr. Brannick was the son of a shoe industry entrepreneur. He attended Syracuse University. Go Orange Men. Brannick spent 2 years developing a simple means of measuring the length, width, and arc length of the human foot. He eventually improved on the wooden Ritz stick, the industry standard of the day, and patented his first prototype in 1925. What do you got? Prospect over there, Hazard? Does he have a prospect?
I don't know what the heck he's showing
me.
It's
Amy Prawl.
Why are you showing me pictures of the...
I don't know.
What is
the wedding girl?
Just so you know. Who
is that at a party?
Oh,
or
she's
something?
Doing her bachelorette thing this weekend.
Oh, okay. Let's stick to Hazard a guess, okay?
Oh, boy.
Let's not be distracted.
The device has both left and right heel cups and is rotated through 180 degrees to measure the second foot. Brannick later formed the Brannick Device Company to manufacture and sell the product and headed the company until 1993 when he passed away at the age of 89. Today, the Brannick device is an international standard of the footwear industry, and the Smithsonian Institution houses samples of some of the first Brannick devices.
I remember the wood ones back in the day.
Those are Ritz. Those are Ritz sticks.
Were they like that?
Yep, yeah. Yep. They weren't as thorough.
All right. Who's keeping score?
Me. It's 1-1.
1-1. Question number 2. Put on your legal beagle thinking hat. Here you go. Ready, Hazard? Can you just sign all of your legal documents with a big X like they do in cartoons?
Why are you looking at me with that blank stare?
I don't know. Can you sign an X on the dotted line? Is that legal? We've seen it in cartoons.
Probably be much clearer than my signature.
I usually put a fraction, like 5/3. This is
my 5/3. We all see cartoons where they punch
they mark it with an X.
I'm literate. I'll put an X here. Can you just sign all of your legal documents with a big old X like they do in the cartoons? Is that valid or is that?
Well, I work with some fellas of Italian descent. Usually they require like a blood signature, but
God, jeez.
Yes.
It's legally binding. Chuck.
As long as the X is the same every time.
What?
As long as it's the same X. You don't want to use a big X on one time or a swirly X the next time. It's got to be a consistent X.
A consistent X. So I couldn't put an X on one and an R on another.
No, I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no? Why would you want to say no?
Yes, you can. You can use an X as a legally binding signature.
As it turns out, just like it's possible to cash those big novelty checks, you know, that you win at the fair or the lottery, there's no rule about what your check has to look like or be made of. I mean, you could put a check
on it on a paper bag.
Paper bag, a side of beef, whatever you want. Because the point is, I lost my train here. A signature from a legal standpoint is just proof that you considered and accepted something. Or, to quote the U.S.'s Uniform Commercial Code, Section 3-401B, a signature may be made, manually or by means of a device or machine, and II, by the use of any name, including a trade or assumed name, or by a word, mark, or symbol, executed or adopted by a person with present intention to authenticate a writing. In other words, there, Uncle Chuck, even if you sign a document in the U.S. and many other parts of the world with an ultra-detailed design, you're still legally bound by the terms of that document because the act of signing a document matters, not the signature itself. So if you just...
So I could write Jeff Hazard's name on there if I wanted to.
Yeah.
As long as I sign the name.
But that's forgery because you're assuming you're Jeff Hazard. But legally you can.
My new legal signature is going to be an O because I want to be different.
Yeah. All of this boils down to why it's possible to sign documents using a stamp, pencil, printed signature, digitally online, or even simply by typing your name at the end of an email message in which you discuss and state you agree to some deal. So,
hey, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've heard stories of people that they've quit teaching people how to write in cursive now in the schools.
Yeah.
So now you can just sign everything with an X. You don't need to write your name out.
Yeah.
Just sign it with an X.
But I've come across that where the kids look at me, no one teaches me cursive. And it's sad because that's what we should be doing.
Cursive for adults. Let's start that. Teach people how to write in cursive.
Yeah.
We could start a school.
And start penmanship classes.
Too. Wait a minute. Do you know this?
What?
Let's see your cursive.
I'm sure yours is pristine. Mine looks like a rock star, okay? Go ahead, Ron. Give us the next question.
All right, what's the score?
1-1. 2-2.
2-2.
2-2.
2-2. Love that. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Final question here. I hope this goes right because I wrote it down with the utmost intent to entertain. So.
Well, you are an entertainer.
Thank you.
Why are you looking at Hazard like that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I find him attractive.
Read the question.
Okay.
Wow.
Explain to me how white wall tires came to be, and what's the significance of white wall tires, and why are they so coveted? Back in the day.
White wall tires?
White wall tires. Used to be a big selling point on automobiles.
Oh, yeah, it was back in the 70s.
People would...
the white walls.
And they'd put curb feelers on their cars so they wouldn't scuff them up.
Yeah.
White wall tires.
And some of them had those big, thick white walls, and there's a little thin white wall.
Yeah.
The thicker, the more...
prestige.
Prestige.
Yeah. So this is a general question.
Harder to keep clean, too.
How?
I hate cleaning the white walls on my dad's car.
That's part of the reason. Explain to me how white wall tires came to be. And the sounds of snacking in the background is...
Well, you said people enjoy listening to me chew.
Gosh.
So, hey.
White wall tires. Why would you have white wall tires? You know? I thought tires were black.
Mine are now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Ron...
Don't be stealing my shtick, Hazard.
Just stop eating into the microphone. It's annoying. White wall tires.
White wall tires.
White wall tires. Let's go back to the history of the automobile, the early days. White wall tires. What's the significance? I dare say this may have been a mistake to include this, but I found it fascinating when I found out why.
White wall tires.
Why would you put white walls on tires?
When did it start? Can I ask that?
Well, that's part of the answer.
Oh, okay.
It would have came out when...
Think about rubber.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, it would have been put on there when they started using...
What's the natural color...
Well, it's black.
...of rubber?
I don't think it is, Hazard.
No, well, it comes out of... It's a sap, so it's coming out of a tree. I think it is white.
Okay. So work
with
that.
They vulcanize it, whatever the hell that means.
What would they do? Think back. If rubber is white, how did we get black? Why are tires black?
Well, so you can leave skid marks on the cement.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
I don't want to burn rubber.
Hey, you burn white rubber, it's not going to look nearly as well.
So... Original tires were made of rubber. They're still made of rubber. And you said the color of rubber is?
White.
All right. So then where do we go from there?
It's a sap that somehow it's heated up, I think. It's boiled or something like that, blah, blah, blah.
What about the rubber that is used in tires?
I don't know.
How's the durability of rubber? Early automobile tires were made of pure natural rubber. Wow. Comes out of a tree, goes into the tire factory.
Boy, I can't even think on this one.
Can't think?
Oh, hazard.
I'm gonna pass right now, or I'm gonna let my assistant.
It's about dang time.
You're gonna go ahead first.
He's gonna phone a Riffenberg.
Yeah. Street shout out.
Uncle Chuck, explain to us how white wall tires came to be.
Well, it was a prestigious thing. I remember that from my dad and my uncles.
Well, it was later.
But I'm going to say, white wall tires came to be as a safety thing, which is what first came to mind. It was about safety because you're traveling down dark roads with black tires and usually a dark car.
Yeah.
So it would make it easier to see as you were crossing the road.
Okay. Hazard, what say you?
That's almost a good answer.
Almost. I thought it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. All right, we need an answer here. Running out of time.
The thicker the wall, the easier you'd be to see.
All right.
I guess that makes sense. I'll roll with him.
Unfortunately, you're both wrong. Early automobile tires were made of pure natural rubber with various chemicals mixed into the tread compounds to make them wear better. The best of these was zinc oxide, a pure white substance that increased traction and also made the entire tire white. However, the white rubber did not offer sufficient endurance, so black carbon was added to the rubber to greatly increase tread life. Using carbon black only in the tread produced tires with inner and outer sidewalls of white rubber. How's that?
It's good.
Later, entirely black tires became available, the still extant white sidewalls being covered with a somewhat thin black-colored layer of rubber. Should a black sidewall tire have been severely scuffed against a curb, the underlying white rubber would be revealed. It is in a similar manner that raised white letters tires are made. So that's white rubber on your tires.
Interesting.
The use of white wall rubber for wheels has been traced to a small tire company in Chicago called Vogue Tire. They're still in business today. That has made them for their horse and buggy chauffeur-drawn carriages starting in 1914. So there it is. It's because the rubber was originally white.
Wow. Interesting.
All right. And then they added carbon black, made them black to, and then they became prestigious. So that's it. Not bad. You guys did 66%. I hope that was interesting and fun.
It was.
Time for a song.
All right, Ron. This band was in town last night, and I'm a little disappointed I didn't get to see them, but I did have a good time at the bands I went and saw. But, you can only be two places in one night. And I really wanted to go so I could pick up their new CD, and I didn't. But I have one of their previous CDs. The band is called Another Lost Year, and we've heard from them before. This is called All That We Are on Motor City Static.
Oh, I guess I have to say something here, right?
Yeah, this is your cue.
Oh, wow. Another Lost Year, All That We Are here on the Biff Radio Network. Motor City Static is the program.
That from their Better Days CD.
Good music again this week. Thanks, Chuck.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks for making me look good.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. All right.
You'll be happy to know I got my tire fixed.
Oh, yeah. What was the story on that?
Oh, I had to get a new to me tire.
New tire. Okay.
A new to me tire.
To me?
New to me.
Oh, new to you.
New to me. Okay. A used tire.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. So, yeah, it's better. A lot easier on my wallet.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, Motor City Static, we're about to head on out of here. Don't forget WBFH.fm. If you can, go to the site there. Click on the donate button. We'd appreciate that. And then if you're a fan of WAHS, by all means, contact them, WAHSradio.org. And I'm sure they could appreciate some love from you, too. All right, that's it. Anything coming up this week?
Oh, yeah. Next weekend is the International Federation of Guppy Breeders show. And it's going to be at the Wyndham
date.
Gardens.
Yeah, bring your date.
Hey, you'd be surprised.
Really?
It's going to be at the Wyndham Gardens in Sterling Heights.
Well, that's good.
That weekend. It's going to be some of the most beautiful guppies you've ever seen in your life.
Okay.
Guarantee it.
Is there a website?
I'm sure if you go to the International Federation of Guppy Breeders or the Michigan Guppy Breeders site, you can, because they're the host.
Okay.
So you go to Michigan Guppy Breeders and you can find out all the information you need to know.
Good. And Hazard, what's coming up on your
work, 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 baby.
Work, work, work. Okay, time to go. We will see you on the radio next Sunday night, 9 o'clock, right here on the Biff Radio Network.